Welcome back to the Johnny Londoff Chevrolet Line Change on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. See you standing over there with your
body, feeling like I want to rock with your body. Definitely a TJ song here to bring us into hour number two.
That's because me and Rock, you know, we're buds.
So Rock hooks you up with some.
So we told Rock to play different songs, and he plays that for TJ.
That's because he likes me better than you, Cam.
I know
that's
he
obvious.
Does.
That's
he
clear.
No, because you both like the same music.
Cam Jansen, TJ Moe, Matt Whitener, Hanny Yates, and Eric Messersmith here with you on the Johnny Londoff Line Change. We're at DB's in Soulard, 1615 South Broadway, hanging out here, as we will be doing for most of the Thursdays over the next 3 or 4 weeks, leading into the Blues
Hopefully
game.
Every Thursday.
The Blues playing the Wild coming up at 7 tonight.
Yeah.
Come on out and see us.
We just ordered a couple more chicken wings, by the way.
Oh, nice.
Oh, my God. They're so good.
Good stuff. It's that DB sauce, man.
Man, it's good. Damn good.
Come check it out. Hang out with us. Say hello. We'll be staying after the game a little bit, too. Guys, the big story of the day was the St. Louis Board of Aldermen reversed itself, at least the Ways and Means Committee. Earlier in the day, they voted 6-2 to kill a proposal to put on the ballot funding for a soccer stadium, an MLS stadium. And then later in the day, they made some changes and reversed it. So it passed 5-4 out of committee. Now it will go to the full board. If they approve it and if the court allows it to go on the ballot, it will be there for the citizens of St. Louis to decide. Do you want to spend $50 million in taxpayer money to build a new MLS stadium? Of course, KSDK, I believe it was our own Frank Cusimano, had the letter yesterday from Major League Soccer saying that if it is approved, St. Louis would get an all-star game within 5 years, an MLS all-star game, and also have a chance at some international friendlies, maybe some qualifiers, some international matches.
I would love to go to someone. Now that we're talking about this all the damn time, like, it just sounds like such a fun, different thing to do. And looking at all these pictures online and what it would maybe look like, it just looks like a cool thing. And how everything's right there and compact right there, and you could walk to Union Station and walk to the Scott Trade Center from there. I just think it'd be so cool. And yet, I'm from Eureka, and I wouldn't be paying the taxes on it, but I would.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're not going to get the chance, unfortunately, and only the citizens of St. Louis.
So, again, that's easy for me to say.
Right. But, well, but no, it's good that you say you're willing to do it.
I wish
more people in the county were thought the same way.
For that, or for Scott Trade Center, absolutely would do that.
Yeah. And Scott Trade Center, by the way, they also debated that today. That was tabled. It will come up later. But there's really no hard and fast time crunch on that. I mean, obviously, you want to get it done soon.
Yes.
But
no doubt
MLS, you've got deadlines coming up.
Yeah, no doubt.
And other cities are moving, guys. I mean, you've seen reports the last few days everywhere.
San Diego.
Charlotte. Phoenix is trying to get in, too.
Tell me San Diego and Phoenix aren't appealing for a sports team right now. Come on. So
we'll find out. The thing about soccer is we keep talking about this. This is the future of sports, period. I think it is. I mean, think about it. The United States is the only country that soccer isn't, not the only one, but generally soccer is the biggest sport in the world by a large
margin. No doubt about it.
Nobody cares about football anywhere but the United States. Everybody watches the Super Bowl.
You'd be surprising over in Great Britain, but okay, yeah, I know what you mean.
They watch the Super Bowl, but what's their number one sport over there?
Oh, God.
Soccer. So eventually.
Hockey now after Nottingham Panther just won the kind of.
Yeah,
but go ahead.
So eventually what happens is everybody's going to raise to that when you start to see. I mean, people are seeing concussions. We're shifting. St. Louis already being a recruiting hotbed with St. Louis youth
sports
soccer.
In general now. I mean,
yeah, look, you're right.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's becoming. I mean, even these next 2 years, this is pretty incredible. Barry Odom was telling me this the other day. The 2017 and 2018 classes are arguably the best football classes to ever come through St. Louis.
Really?
Yes, the youth guys.
We need to get Barry Odom back on here. I need to meet him, by the way.
We'll probably do a weekly with him during the season, but I'll see if we can get him on after signing day.
Cool.
Hey, guys, on the Ryan Kelly phone lines right now, we've got Jack Coder, who is the alderman, the 7th Ward alderman for the city of St. Louis, joining us now. Alderman, how are you?
Good, guys. Good afternoon. How you doing?
We are doing well, sir. Thanks for joining us here on the Johnny Londoff Line Change, 590 The Fan, InsideSTL.com. So we kind of have been talking about what went on today, where originally it looked early in the day like this thing might be dead after it was a 6-2 vote against it. Then they made some changes. My take, and tell me if you agree with this, was this bill, I want to see it get to the voters, and I ultimately am glad it's probably going to now, but I'm also glad that the Board of Aldermen was able to get some changes. It seems like overall this is a better deal for the taxpayers than it was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, when this thing started, this was basically an $80 million ask of the taxpayers from the ownership group. And you know, now we're down to around 50. It was a little bit more earlier today, but we've made some changes. You know, and everyone got to see the legislative process in action today. And ultimately, we were able to revive the bill, tweak the ticket tax rebate and a couple other things, and get it passed out of committee.
So now do you think it seems, I would say, pretty likely that it will be passed by the full Board of Aldermen and be on the ballot for the citizens of St. Louis in April?
So there's still a number of hurdles that have to be cleared. We've got another vote next week on the financing agreement. I anticipate that will pass based on today's vote. Then we got to go find 15 votes at the Board of Aldermen. I'm hopeful we can get that done. And then from there, we've got to go see a judge. There has to be a lawsuit to get on the ballot, because actually the deadline for getting something on the ballot is 10 weeks before an election. We're inside that window, so we've got to get permission from the courts to get on the ballot. Once all that's done, then it will go to the voters. I'm confident we can get those 15 votes, and we can hopefully get permission from the courts. And then it'll be up to the people of St. Louis City to decide if this is how they want to spend an increase in the use tax.
Jack, how do you go about convincing your constituents and the people of St. Louis that this is a good idea? You guys are going to have some time before this is officially voted on. If it does get to the ballot, how do you go about doing that?
Right. Well, ultimately, I mean, it's going to be up to the ownership group to run a campaign. They're going to spend money and run a campaign to convince voters in the April general election that this is a good idea. I mean, I'm a co-sponsor of the bill. I'm certainly going to advocate for it for my constituency. It's probably a little easier for me than most of my colleagues because I represent downtown. I represent the ward that is one block from this proposed stadium. So for me, it's sort of a no-brainer. But it's not going to be an easy sell.
Alderman, one of the convincing arguments that you made today was about painting that picture of downtown St. Louis and what this type of venue could bring to it. Could you share that again? I mean, it just really painted a vivid idea about what this really could mean to the city on a visual and an active base.
Right. So one of the things that, you know, I hope to do in my tenure as 7th Ward Alderman is to help make Clark Street one of the great sports streets in America. You know, on the eastern end, you've got the Cardinals, Busch Stadium 3 and Ballpark Village. Then you travel to the west, you've got Scottrade Center. Obviously, there was a lengthy debate today about the future of that facility and the upgrades needed there. For a little farther west, you've got a wonderful entertainment venue and Union Station that, you know, is currently undergoing major renovations and will be a great family attraction. And then if all goes according to plan, even west of that, bookending us on the western side of downtown, we'll have a new state-of-the-art nearly $200 million soccer facility. It really would be an unbelievable transformation for downtown and really make this a destination for sports and entertainment.
We're talking with 7th Ward Alderman Jack Coder here on the Johnny Londoff Line Change, 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Let me play devil's advocate here, Jack. That business use tax that would fund this stadium, it's going to be automatically triggered if the Metrolink amendment also passes that day in April, assuming it's on the ballot as well.
Right.
The people who are against this, I'm sure, are going to argue, look, we're in a city that is facing potentially a multi-million dollar budget shortfall. I heard the police chief say a few weeks ago that they lose two policemen every pay period because the pay isn't up to standard compared to some other areas. People will argue, why not use that money that's going to be triggered anyway to hire more police to help make the city safer? Is it the best use of funds to put toward a soccer stadium?
No, it's a valid point, and it's a good question, and that's one that we're going to be taking to the voters. We'll soon find out. I'm of the belief that, you know, if the use tax is raised and the voters decide that they want to use that increase for this project, it's going to help downtown. It creates density. It cleans up blighted areas. Ultimately, will make downtown safer. Of course, we need to help the police. They do need more resources. And I think under the next mayor, we're going to have to get real serious about finding those resources. And I think there's other ways to do it besides the use tax.
Alderman, there were four other aldermen who were just not going to be persuaded, and they have voted no every time. When you speak to them, what is their reasoning, and what do they tell you about not even allowing this to go to a vote to the people of St. Louis?
Well, you know, several of my colleagues who voted against this are from areas of town that have seen, you know, tremendous amounts of disinvestment and have very serious issues relating to crime and poverty. And I certainly understand their reasons. You know, it's very difficult for some of them to go back to their constituencies and say, I just voted, you know, to support a multi-million dollar stadium downtown. We've got buildings crumbling on, you know, on city blocks in their wards. So I obviously understand their concerns, and I, you know, certainly don't take it personally. It's just helpful, you know, in these sort of legislative back and forth to at least know where people stand. If you're going to be a no vote, in my mind, I'd always rather you're a no vote than just have you on the fence, not knowing one way or the other if we can count on your vote.
I know there's no timetable on the Scott trade renovations, but how's that going right now, and what do you think of it?
That's not going nearly as well as the soccer bill right now. I mean, look, while the soccer stadium is very theoretical, it's ultimately sort of revenue neutral. It doesn't touch the general fund. It will be using a new revenue stream in terms of an increased use tax, and then would rely on, you know, basically tax dollars generated at the site to pay for those improvements. The Scott trade deal doesn't do that. I mean, you know, it's a city-owned facility, and they're simply asking for a $4 million appropriation. And to give them that $4 million, it's been allocated somewhere else in the budget, so you got to cut it out of something. And that's a tough decision for the aldermen to make. You know, I'm hopeful that those guys are going to get a little more creative about their financing and how they can potentially pay for these upgrades and retool over the weekend and come back with something that we can get through that committee.
Jack Coder, 7th Ward Alderman, joining us here on the Ryan Kelly phone lines. Johnny Londoff, line change. Alderman, one of the arguments against this is, as well, and also I guess you could apply it to Scott Trade, is the citizens of the city of St. Louis have to pay this full burden. Nothing from the county, nothing from the surrounding metro area, even though these are regional assets that are enjoyed and used by, especially in the case, I think, of the soccer stadium, it's not going to be a majority citizens of St. Louis that are going to be coming to these games and paying the ticket prices and buying the seats for this stadium. So what do you say to people who say, why is the city the only local entity that has to pay for this?
Well, that's a very legitimate argument. The reason that the city has to pay for these things and shoulder these costs right now is because we have a wildly ineffective, fractured regional government, and I would love to see it fixed. I mean, the county should most definitely be participating in these projects for these big regional assets, but under our current form of government and the current leadership, that's not going to happen. Now, what I will say is we made this soccer deal a better deal today in terms of county residents who come visit that facility will be helping pay the cost because we've added a ticket tax. So when you buy a ticket, it's going to get taxed, and that money's going to go back into the city's coffers. There's also going to be sales taxes, special sales taxes levied at the facility that will go back into paying for the project. So there will be, you know, county residents who come to the soccer stadium, if it's ever built, will be helping to pay for it. But all these deals would make a lot more sense financially and be easier to accomplish if we didn't have such a fractured regional government.
And just to be clear, is the reason you think they're not asking for money from the county, is that a time frame situation? Do you think there just isn't enough time to get that, or do you think it's because they didn't think that it would be possible?
Yeah, I think they know it wouldn't be possible, and they know the answer would be no if they asked.
Alderman, I saw that the committee adopted an amendment that would impose an amusement tax on half of ticket sales at the stadium and then also ask that the Northside Regeneration give up its tax increment financing revenue on the site. And so I'm kind of wondering how much of an impact that made or if that changes anything, kind of sways decision one way or the other.
Well, that amendment was what allowed us to get the bill passed. I mean, those were basically the conditions that Alderman Ogilvy, my colleague from the 24th Ward, laid out during his questioning. He said, I'll be willing to vote for this if you can address the ticket tax issue and the Northside Regeneration TIF issue. And so, you know, we huddled after the failed vote, which we expected to fail and purposefully had someone vote against it so we could bring it back up. We huddled, we talked to the ownership group, and they said, look, we'll impose at least half of the ticket tax. And so that amendment would ultimately got this thing over the finish line.
Can you explain that TIF issue to us, like that $5 million, where it came from and what exactly that is, that money set aside?
I'll do my best. It gets pretty complicated. So many years ago, well before my time at the Board of Aldermen, a very large TIF project called the Northside Regeneration TIF was passed. It was spearheaded by a developer named Paul McKee. And this TIF basically covers a large swath of North St. Louis all the way down to basically Jefferson and 40. It includes the area where this proposed soccer stadium is going to be built. And so as part of having a TIF district, a TIF owner or developer is basically entitled to a portion of all tax proceeds generated within the TIF district. They're called economic activity taxes, or EATs. And so if this stadium had been built, a portion of the revenues generated would have gone to the developer who controls that TIF, which is Paul McKee. So what we did today was basically pledge half of the revenues that he'd receive back to the project. And now he ultimately has to agree to that, and I'm hopeful that he will, because it's a good project for his TIF district. But it gets pretty complicated, the financing and how that works. But at the end of the day, what we pledged back in terms of his half of the EATs will be probably worth about $5 million over the life of the project.
Alderman, one thing that got brought up today was about practice facilities and about how that revenue would impact over city and county boundaries. How important is it that the proposed soccer team, at least, keeps that business in downtown St. Louis? And also, how much was that impacted by the discussion about the potentially new hockey facility in Creve Coeur?
Right. I know they're working on the hockey facility out there, and I guess the soccer stadium comes to fruition, they'll be playing at an existing facility or practicing at an existing facility. You know, guys, that's an area that I don't completely understand how the income on the players is taxed. I mean, so I don't know if they're taxed based on where the corporate headquarters is, or if they're taxed at game days where they're playing, which would be in the city. That's an area I really can't give a lot of comment on, because I don't completely know the details of how they tax the income of these players. Now, I will say this. We know that by building this stadium, we're going to create close to 450 permanent jobs at the stadium. You know, there's some game day jobs, lots of maintenance jobs, and, you know, office workers for the team. And those will be folks that will be contributing to the local earnings tax and hopefully living in St. Louis and spending money, having lunch in St. Louis. So, I mean, there is a net jobs benefit and a big benefit from that.
Jack Coder joining us, 7th Ward Alderman, on the Ryan Kelly phone lines. You talked about regional cooperation, and obviously we're not going to get it for the MLS project, but what would you like to see regionally? If you could wave a magic wand, what should this area do in terms of the cooperation between the city and the county?
Well, I would probably like to see, you know, the city somehow re-enter county government. It would help sort of simplify our tax structure. I'd like to see some sort of regional sports district where you get the whole region contributing into these sports assets. I'm hopeful one of these days we'll get it done. It's obviously going to take some serious leadership in both the city and county to convince residents that it's in everyone's best interest to merge these governments. You know, you're still going to have a board of aldermen under that scenario, but you'd have, you know, more cooperation. You could merge more city and county services, which would save money and ultimately make these deals much more palatable and I think easier to get done. And it's my goal, my hope and my goal that we get that done while I'm still involved in city government for years to come.
Alderman, one thing that I was reading at part of your meeting is Antonio French was asking Dave Peacock, you're not going to need to come back and ask for any more money, right? And he says, yes, but that is only for 30 years. Isn't that right? And is that a worry of some of the other aldermen?
Yeah, no, that's a legitimate concern. And I think something that, you know, we'll be discussing in the weeks to come is, yeah, you know, 30 years from now, we're going to be having the conversation we're having about Scottrade, that we're having today about Scottrade. It's an interesting time where we've got one project, one facility that's sort of coming to the end of its useful life and needs millions in upgrades, and one we're talking about building. Now, I think the difference is it's much clearer in the financing agreement that we'll be talking about next week that the ownership group is on the hook for improvements and future expansion, not taxpayers.
Jack Coder, before we let you go, assuming this does pass the Board of Aldermen and the courts allow it to go on the ballot, do you think this will pass in the city of St. Louis? If you had to handicap it right now, do you think it's an uphill climb?
Ooh, it is certainly an uphill climb, and I actually think there's maybe some polling by the Missouri Times that shows that this is definitely an uphill climb today. But ultimately, I think once folks learn more about this project and once the ownership group puts together a real campaign and educates people about how this is ultimately a fiscal benefit for the city, I think we can convince voters to vote yes for this project.
Thank you so much for joining
us.
We appreciate the time, sir.
Thanks, guys. Take it easy.
Yeah,
Jack Coder, 7th Ward Alderman in the city of St. Louis, joining us on the Ryan Kelly phone lines here on the Johnny Londoff Line Change.
We'll have to get him back when as things keep going here. He was really good.
He was great.
Absolutely. And look, he
was great.
We asked him what are going to be the arguments against this, and I think he answered them honestly and said those are legitimate points. Certainly they are. And I hope both sides are respectful to each other, because no matter how you're going to come down on this, if it gets on the ballot, you can make a really good argument on each side.
Yeah.
He really stepped up today and really became a guy that vouched for it really strongly with Alderman Agassi. I mean, he stepped up and really painted a picture of how, if you look it down, and we talk about this on this show a lot. We talk about how downtown needs this, what it would look like with these things, and how much this could alter it. And he painted that picture in a great way. Yep. So it's good to hear that. It's good to have an advocate like that that can do those things. And hopefully a couple people in other wards and other districts will look at that and say, maybe I see this as well, and I don't have to vote. If you vote against something, just because maybe their alderman doesn't see the strength of it.
And they're going to need advocates like him, and they're going to need a very good marketing campaign and probably spend a lot of money to get this thing passed. Because as he said, if it does get to the ballot, you talk about an uphill climb, it is going to be tough in these times to get this through in the city.
Rightfully so.
They're going to have to campaign
hard.
They're going to have to put money into that thing.
They're going to put money in, doubt about it.
And you know what? To be honest with you, The radio stations around here, it's as much our responsibility to be informed and tell everybody what's going on in that thing if we want this thing to pass as well. You have to know and inform, because people just see new taxes and say no.
But I think it's also important.
It's a turn
off. It is. But I think it's also important to be fair to, even if you ultimately think this is a good idea, to be fair to the no side. It's a very legitimate argument. And he even admitted that. If you say, hey, I'd rather spend that money toward, paying police salaries or getting more cops on the street.
Don't get me wrong. The alderman that represents North City that brought pictures of deteriorating neighborhoods
that
said that, listen, we need to be taking care of this as well. You cannot. The only thing that ever brought any pause to me about this is going into funds that could strictly be allocated towards that to build
I completely agree with that.
That is a dangerous thing to do, because that's people's neighborhoods that you walk through and you see that. So we have to be conscious of that. I have faith and I believe that both means can be met.
Although city police budget is $40 million more than county, and one-third of the population, 319,000 versus 1.1 million, 87% less area to cover, 65 square miles versus 550 square miles.
I tell you what, and I think the intensity of situations in the city is what makes it bigger. I think that's a good point. Man, if anything, points like that, things like we saw here and how much easier it would be to make things like this happen if the city and if the county are interacting together, think about how much greater of an how much greater of an entire metro area could this
be. I agree. I told you I would 100% be okay to pay taxes, extra taxes for that and implement that.
I mean,
no
think
about
the duplication. Think about just police while we're talking about the duplication of services. When you have a city police department that's struggling badly.
I know.
And
they
can't
are.
Keep its officers. And then in the county, you've got, 50 different police? I think it's 50 police departments in the county. Some of them very tiny.
And by
think
the way, the police hate that, too.
It's so
they
inefficient.
They can't stand it. I mean, I have neighbors that are police. I've known a ton. And they're all like, when we try to get things done around here, this is your place to do it. This is your place to do it. I can't even tell. Like, this guy's not even in my department. He lives next door. Like, they hate that.
That's all crazy. In this together. Like, if you're in the St. Louis region, what happens in North City, you may think it doesn't affect you, or North County, but it does. Just because you don't live there doesn't mean that it doesn't affect you. What happens downtown affects you.
And you see, and I feel, and I agree, and I see your point there. And I've always felt, I mean, I feel as much kinship for downtown St. Louis as I do for where I live. I mean, that's just it. I consider myself to be a St. Louisan. Not a U City inhabitant, or not where it is that my direct tax dollar goes to. I care about what happens down here. I mean, it matters.
I do, too. Absolutely. I know a lot of the police officers down here.
But thanks to the alderman for making that time. I called him 2 hours ago, and he called and texted me back right before he
came
on.
Good job today, Maddie.
That's serving the people. That's going out and talking to your constituents.
No doubt about it. Yeah, and he's a busy man. Good for him.
Yeah, and it's going to be a very interesting debate here in the weeks and months to come. We're at DB's here in Soulard, 1615 South Broadway, up until the Blues game tonight and even a little bit after. Come on out and hang out with us. Cam Jansen, TJ Moe, Matt White, Hanning Yates, and Eric Messersmith. This is the Johnny Londoff Line Change on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.